But some of you were repeating the words of that song, and they'll know we are by our love. Yeah, I could just say that's all we need to know this morning. I could get off easy, and we could go home. Well, good morning, Grace Church. There's a lot more people here today than last week, which is nice to see. And probably the week before, Barbara and I were down in Florida visiting my mother-in-law on Christmas week. And so we're glad to be back and be with you and worship together. As 2017 gets going, and as you probably already figured out, Pastor Wes is away, and I'm kind of filling in for him. I'm the reserve quarterback, hopefully not like the Detroit Lions reserve quarterback. So this morning, I'd like to share one main point. And it's a New Year's resolution of sorts. And it comes from James chapter 4, verse 8. And that verse, you don't need to look at it because you're going to have a verse from the Bible memorized today before you leave. Here's what it says. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. It's a good one, isn't it? Why don't you say that after me? I'm going to say it, and you say it after me. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Ready? Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And so here's the main point. Deliberately, by choice, taking initiative, taking action, put yourself in places and situations when you can experience a closer relationship with Jesus. That's what I hope you get out of the message this morning. And we're going to go to a person in the New Testament. Probably you've already cheated and looked ahead. It's from Luke chapter 19, and we're going to look at a person who's kind of a shady character. A character who got to know Jesus and it changed him. He wasn't liked by his people because he got wealthy off of them. You see, the person I'm talking about, if you've looked at it, is Zacchaeus. And he was a tax collector at the time of Jesus. Now, isn't it interesting? We still don't like tax collectors today, do we? What's the first thing you think of when you think of the IRS? I bet it's not too positive. I mean, let me really give it to you. Can you imagine getting a letter from the IRS, and it says IRS on it, open immediately, important. What are you feeling? I got one of those one time, and it wasn't a happy experience because I was being audited. And you would probably not like it either. So I just want to tell you, we still have those feelings about our taxes today. We just don't like paying our taxes and tax collectors. So before we get to the passage, and you can turn to Luke 19 if you have one, you know, a Bible in front of you or a Bible app on your smartphone. But before I get to the passage, you can turn there. I want to give you a little bit of background. Hope I got pointed this way. And there it is. The story takes place in Jericho. And I got to tell you a little bit about Jericho, because I think it'll help us to understand the story a little bit better. Now, if you look up at the map, Jericho is just, you see the Dead Sea down in the kind of center lower portion, and Jericho is just northwest of the Dead Sea. And you can see a Jerusalem with the white star in the middle of Jerusalem, and Jericho is kind of northeast of there. And that's where the story takes place. Jericho is about 800 feet below sea level. And Jesus is passing through that town on his way to Jerusalem. It's the end of his ministry. He's going to Jerusalem for Passion Week and to die on the cross. Now, Jericho was a lush area, and it's an oasis. As you travel out of Jericho, you start to hit a lot of desert, dry area, but there happened to be great springs and waters down there. And it was a wealthy and important town. It was famous for balsam groves, and the perfume with it could travel for miles. It was nicknamed the City of Palms. And of course, you know, pretty soon Jesus is going to celebrate Palm Sunday. Jewish priests and Levites would often travel down there when they were off duty from doing all their ceremonial work up in Jerusalem because they liked it. So you might kind of think, I know you don't want to hear this at this time of the year, but you might kind of think of it as the Florida of Jerusalem. You know, all the people go down there to get to the better place. I know we just had Joey and Larry come back from Florida, so we're all kind of wondering what's going on there. But most people like to go to Florida right now. But Jericho was a nice place to be at. It was a bustling city. A couple other things that doesn't show it on this map, but there are two main trade roads that went on the east and west coast, or east and west of Jericho. And between those two, there was a road. So Jericho was like at a cross section of that cross route between them. There'd be one going up the Mediterranean Sea and one that would be east of the Dead Sea. And then, if you're Jewish, you would be coming, south, and you would travel probably through Jericho to get to Jerusalem. So you get an idea that there's a lot of trade there. The balsam groves, and there was figs there that were just amazing, that would go all over the Roman Empire for trade. Which, by the way, if you like figs, Walter Woodley, he's here today, he's an expert on figs. And he's guided my wife on the best figs at Adams, that are very, very tasty. So, I don't know, Walter, you ever had a fig from Jericho? No, he hasn't. Okay. But anyway, that's Jericho. And you can get an idea that this was, kind of a bustling place of traffic. Now, the other thing before we get to the passage is to understand a little bit about the tax system of Rome at this time. Under the Roman system, tax collecting jobs were farmed out to people who bought the right to collect the taxes. The tax collectors paid a fixed amount to Rome, but after that, they enriched themselves by forcing the public to pay more than what Rome required. And as long as the tax collector gave Rome the stated amount for that area, Rome was happy, and they didn't really care if the taxpayers or collectors overcharged people. Now, there's no TV cameras, cell phones, no Facebook whistleblowers, muckrakers. You can imagine what it meant for those taxpayers. Oh, nobody cares if I overcharge. I give them the amount they need. I keep the rest. What a great deal. And so taxpayers were notorious for collecting more than they were required, and they kept the excess. And they often became wealthy, which is true of Zacchaeus. Since Jericho was such a big area of trade and travel, it was a great treasure chest for these kinds of taxes that would be charged to people. Now, I'm not going to tell you all the taxes that could be charged, but I'll just tell you a few so you kind of get the idea of it. I'm going to tell you about the duties that they could charge somebody. These duties would be like if they're traveling along with their things, they could be charged for using the roads, going to the markets. They could be charged for their cart. They could be charged for the wheels on their cart. They could be charged for the animals, for the articles in the cart. Kind of reminds me of my cell phone bill. It's all kinds of duties. I go, what is this? So that's ripe for extortion, for charging more and more and more from people. And Zacchaeus was Jewish, and he was doing this to his own people. Now, they already felt that they were under the tyranny of Rome. The tax collector was collecting for Rome. So they felt like Zacchaeus and all tax collectors were traitors to their own people. And so that's the backdrop of what we come to when we come to this story in Luke 19, when Zacchaeus has an encounter with Jesus. And I might add, he wasn't just a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector with subordinates working under him. So let's look at this passage right now. And if you have it, you can look at it on your Bible, or you can just look it up here as I read it to you. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but he was short, and he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with a guest of a sinner?" But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Would you pray with me before we hear something about this scripture? Heavenly Father, may your words speak to us this morning, and may we know how to respond to it and how to respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I started out with having you repeat after me from James 4:8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. And I want to just kind of clarify something up, because I think it actually happened in this story with Zacchaeus. You might get a misunderstanding of that verse, thinking like, we're in control of God. All I got to do is come close to him. Kind of like I got God on a fishing rod. Like I can come close to God, cast it out, and yank God closer to me. And that's not really what it's saying. What it really is saying is this. God's already come close to you. God has already come near you, and that's why you can come near to him. And he invites you to come to him because he's already there. And when you come closer, he can come closer to you. He doesn't force us. He wants a relationship with us. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. Somehow Zacchaeus knows about Jesus already. Something's stirring inside of him. In the story of Zacchaeus, Jesus is passing through Jericho. Jesus is coming close to where Zacchaeus lives. But Zacchaeus must have already heard about Jesus. He was curious about seeing Jesus, getting a better view of him. But he had a problem. He was short. But that didn't stop him from getting a better view. He found a way. He got up a tree to get a glimpse of someone he was drawn to. And I submit to you that Zacchaeus couldn't get nearer to Jesus if Jesus wasn't already first passing through that place. It's a really important theological, philosophical, and spiritual point to understand. God's always on the move, looking for people to have a relationship with. He loves people so much that even though they may do bad things like Zacchaeus, and they might sin, he still searches for them. He considers them to be apart from him, needing to be found. And he actively searches for them. Jesus was coming by, and Zacchaeus got near to him. You know, we just went through Christmas. Isn't that what Christmas is about? Emmanuel means God among us. And one of the great Christmas passages, the first chapter of John, which says, "The Word became flesh," I bet you could repeat it after me, "and dwelt among us." Yeah. You know, I've read kind of a literal translation of that verse. It's kind of interesting. And it could go something like this. God pitched his tent or his tabernacle in our midst. So just think about that for a moment. It's kind of like God putting up a tent in your front yard and saying, "I'm here." Zacchaeus made the most of that opportunity of God coming to him. And it's an opportunity that wouldn't last very long. It would come and go. Jesus was passing through, and if Zacchaeus didn't act immediately and climb the tree, his chance to see Jesus would come and pass him by. If he didn't run to that tree, he would have missed him. So notice the sequence here. Jesus is coming through. Zacchaeus gets closer by climbing the sycamore tree. Jesus comes even closer and invites himself over for dinner at Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus comes down the tree and welcomes him gladly. When Zacchaeus is at Jesus' house, Jesus gets closer to Zacchaeus. You see what's happening here? It's a relationship that's developing. Back and forth. Jesus comes close to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus comes close to Jesus. Jesus comes closer to Zacchaeus. Well, you get the picture, don't you? So it should be with us. And that brings me to a number of points that I'd like to share. Point one, act immediately when you know God is getting close to you. Don't wait. Take action to see him more clearly. Don't let the opportunity pass. If you delay, you might miss it, and your opportunity might be lost. Go back and look at the scripture. Verse 4 up there. What does it say? He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. I mean, have you ever run to a place to go see and get to know God better? Have you ever had that kind of energy? Well, Zacchaeus did. Then look in verse 6. He came down at once. He didn't just enjoy the view. He came down right away as Jesus invited him. Zacchaeus took action. And I like that about him. If he didn't delay when Jesus came by, he might have missed him. And we shouldn't delay either. So I want to leave you with a question on this first point. Do you need to act on something today that the Lord's speaking to you about? Two, don't make excuses when it comes to getting to know Jesus more clearly. You know, Zacchaeus had a whole bunch of them. He was short. He wasn't liked by people. He was probably hated by people. Even Jesus was put down for hanging out with slimy people like Zacchaeus. You got to ignore those excuses. Focus on what you need to do. Zacchaeus figured out how to get close to Christ, and you can too. Now, I don't know what that means for you. I mean, I know over the span of being a Christian for many years, there are things that greatly help people to become closer to Christ. I mean, I know very few growing Christians who don't daily have a devotion. I know very few Christians who don't come together with other Christians regularly who can grow as a Christian and get closer to Christ. I know very few Christians who don't really grow if they don't get out and do something that makes them uncomfortable for Christ. Say, going on a mission trip or going on a local outreach, doing something where you're in a different spot that's uncomfortable. Those are the times you draw closer to Christ because Jesus was out and about, and that's how he met Zacchaeus, and we're expected to do the same. But don't make excuses. Just get going. You know, Zacchaeus found his sycamore tree, and I don't know what that is for you, but you can find your sycamore tree, whatever it is, to get to see Jesus better. Just don't make an excuse. Number three in the passage, and I really like this part of it. When Jesus calls you, he's going to call you by name, and he's going to personally speak to your heart. And when he does that, welcome him gladly. You know, it's just striking how God comes to earth, he's walking the earth, he's doing all this. He goes by the sycamore tree, and he looks up and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come over for some, Matt, probably not going to come over for bacon, but since they're both Jewish, but I'm coming over for some good food." And he calls him by name. Have you ever wondered how wonderful it is when people know your name? I know it's a struggle here. I have to introduce my name all the time to people, and I know a lot of people here. But sure nice that the God of the universe knows us so personally that he will call Zacchaeus by name, he will call you by name, and he knows everything there is to know about you. That's because he loves you. Jesus loved Zacchaeus, even the kind of person that he was. Now, that's the personal nature of God. We don't have God, Jesus, walking around today. But you know what we were promised by Jesus? He would send the what? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And he'll speak to us today through the Holy Spirit. And I just want to encourage all of us here at Grace Church that we all need to listen more closely, personally, collectively as a church, to the Holy Spirit. He is speaking. We just need to listen. And we should welcome him gladly, just like Zacchaeus did. And you know what's interesting about that? Zacchaeus really hadn't cleaned himself up yet. Point four. This is probably one of the harder ones here. Doesn't seem like it was hard for Zacchaeus, but I think it's a tough one. And here it is. Have to be true to the story, so let's make sure we look at it. Get ready, I want to tell you, to face your sin squarely, make restitution if necessary, and then joyfully respond to your salvation. Zacchaeus' sin was well known. Pretty much everybody knew it. Zacchaeus knew it. There's nothing that he could hide from it. He extorted money from people, from his own people. He was wealthy. Maybe our sins tend to be secret. Nevertheless, we have to face them directly like Zacchaeus did. Jesus is the master healer of sin. We must face it. We need to stop doing it and make restitution if necessary. If you think it can't happen, I point you back to Zacchaeus. It can happen. You know, I think Zacchaeus is kind of a scurvy guy. I really just don't like him. He took advantage of people. He's a guy I would probably write off. I wouldn't like him. I might even hate him. And that's where Jesus and I are different. Somehow Jesus saw that Zacchaeus was willing to change and repent. And Jesus came to save people like that, like Zacchaeus, like you, like me. My sin is different than Zacchaeus, and your sin is probably different than Zacchaeus too. But I can assure you, no matter what you've done, Jesus can save you. He can forgive you, and he can help you to repent and change. I think that's why Hans led us in a moment of repentance and forgiveness this morning. Zacchaeus experienced it. You can too. Now, what I find amazingly striking about Zacchaeus was that he gave away half his money to the poor. And then anybody that he overcharged, he would pay them back and make restitution four times the amount. Now, I've been a Christian about 40 years. I can tell you I have never heard a testimony like that. I wonder, I bet there's probably not more than five people this morning here in church. We probably have about 200 people, 250 people. I bet you there's not even five people here who've heard a testimony like that. Now, I've heard Christians giving away lots of money to Christian causes. I've heard of that. But at the moment of becoming a Christian like Zacchaeus, I've never heard someone like stand up and say, you know, I'm paying back everybody four times the amount that I took from them. Never heard that. It's an amazing heart change, isn't it? And I'm really just also amazed that it seems like he was pretty joyful about it too. He stands up, he says, today, I'm going to give half my money to the poor and pay everybody back four times the amount. Now, a little backdrop of that, that comes out of Exodus 22 possibly. And Exodus 22 is a chapter in the Bible about making restitution when you've kind of wronged people. And there's all kinds of provisions, you know, it's for me reading, it's a little bit confusing at times, but one scholar I read said this about Zacchaeus. So I'm going to trust it's correct. But he said this, Zacchaeus actually could have fallen under a lesser form of restitution. He could have come under only paying back two times the amount. But he picked one that was the harsher or tougher restitution amount. Pretty amazing, huh? If that's true, either way, it's pretty amazing. But that's what was said about Zacchaeus. Now, I just want to encourage you about the amazing salvation that Zacchaeus received and his response that he had to it. Because there's two types of people that I've actually had conversations with. One is someone who told me, my sin is so great, God could never forgive me. And another person who told me, I can't come back to Grace Church, this church, because there's too many good people there and I'm not good enough for them. To the first person, I point you to Zacchaeus. Jesus forgave him and he can forgive you. To the other person, I say, I don't think they've really gotten to know us well enough. And I don't mean to say that we're out doing bad things or we're hurting people. We sometimes do. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of us that have difficult things going on in our lives. And that person just saw how we dressed and just couldn't get beyond that. And there was a lot, there was people in this church reaching out to that person too. But it greatly saddened me. Because that's the kind of people Jesus comes for. And that person was seeking God at that moment. And it just saddened me. But I want you to know you can be forgiven of whatever sin has ever come to you. And Jesus can help you change. Number five. It's kind of my last point. But it's not about Zacchaeus, it's about Jesus. In the passage, it says, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. People like Zacchaeus. Even someone like Zacchaeus, who had some things that were terrible that he did, which is why he deserved to be hated. But Jesus could see into Zacchaeus' heart that he wanted to change. And Jesus went to him. Why is that? Well, simply put, they're the people that Jesus came for. And it's oftentimes hurting people that tend to hurt others. But if you can get beyond the crust of their outward lives, they may have an inner heart who needs someone like Jesus who can heal it and help them change and become different people. You know, at the end of the story, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus didn't write Zacchaeus off. I probably would have. Instead, Jesus welcomed him into a relationship with God. And I hope we can all be more like Jesus and be kind to people, even people who might mistreat us and hurt us. We may not know it, but by being kind to them, it might just open the door. Or then they might want to hear about Christ. Because maybe that's who they're really searching for. After all, that's just what Jesus did for Zacchaeus, and that's just what he did for us. So to kind of bring us to a close, I want to show you a picture here. We have three cows and a yoke, but usually we think of a yoke with only two, but it has three here. So what I want to imagine, it's not a perfect illustration, so you know, don't take it too far, but I want you to imagine that you're in the center yoke. Christ is in the other yoke right next to you. He's close to you. I want you to draw strength from Christ. Recognize he's with you no matter where you are. Christ isn't going to separate himself from you. He's going to stay with you. Now, the third one is all the circumstances of life that you go through and the people that you meet in those circumstances. It could be in your families, could be here in our church family, could be on a mission trip, could be your colleagues at work, could be your husband, your wife, could be your children, could be friends, neighbors. I want you to imagine that other yoke is all the circumstances of life. Some are going to be great and some are going to be tough. But when you're going through those, you are connected to Christ. And when you and Christ are connected and you're close, as you're drawing close to him through all those, he's going to transform those circumstances so that they become God moments. You'll get a chance to do what Paul played earlier. People you're around will know you're a Christian by your love. You're going to be seeking Christ and how you can bring his love to every situation. Now, I think a lot of you, read the bulletin every week. There's been a little thing in the bulletin every week for about 2 months or so. And Pastor Wes has put this in. He says, "Have you seen God at work?" Well, I would submit, if you're drawing closer to God, you're going to see God at work. Craig mentioned that this morning in his call to worship. Pastor Wes would like you to email him and tell him that story. He hasn't gotten a whole lot of stories yet, but I know they're out there. I know when I challenged my growth group to see how God was going to bring a scripture to life, the next week, we didn't get on to the next lesson. We just heard a lot of stories of God working in their lives about a particular scripture that came true to them. And I think there's a lot of stories that you all have as you draw closer to God. And he's going to transform those circumstances. And maybe there'll be a time when you might be able to come up here. And I know it's a little scary coming up here. But you can share it with all of us. And we can be encouraged. I know I was one of my favorite growth group meetings. And I really, all I had to do was say, "Here's a scripture. Figure out how God's going to put it into your life this week." I should do that every week. I won't have to prepare so much. I walked out really blessed. And you will too. And we all will. And we'll all rejoice to see how God is at work in one another. So during 2017, as you get closer to Jesus and recognize how your relation with him is transformed in all these circumstances, both good ones and trials, let Pastor Wes know. And you're not really being asked to fulfill a New Year's resolution. I'm asking you to do this day by day, week by week, month by month, all year long. Because what I really want you to get out of this is to make this a lifestyle of being close to Jesus as Jesus comes close to you. And I'm absolutely certain if you recognize how close he is with you through all of life circumstances, you'll be blessed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that this week we will recognize, perhaps today, that you are right next to us, within us, every moment that we live. And I pray we would recognize that we would live for you and honor you and have stories to share with each other to encourage others about how you are alive and at work in our lives. We're so grateful for it, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.